Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. We start this segment of the JX with a public health concern. By the end of the year, Oregon is expected to surpass its record of 910 pertussis cases, also known as whooping cough. As of mid-November, 827 cases of pertussis were reported across 23 of Oregon's 36 counties, according to the Oregon Health Authority. There's been one reported death. The state's record 910 pertussis cases were reported back in 2012, which is the highest since 1953. Today, if nothing changes over the holiday season, we're on track to break that record by the end of the year. Joining the exchange to discuss the problem is Dr. Paul Cieslak. He's the medical director for communicable diseases and immunizations in the Center for Public Health Practice at the Oregon Health Association. Welcome to the exchange, Doc.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with some insight into the pertussis problem. Can you tell us what is it and why is it suddenly a problem again?
Right. Pertussis is a bacterial infection of the respiratory tract. So the bacterium lives in the nose and throat of, you know, some percentage of the population, and it can be transmitted through respiratory droplets, often propelled from the mouth and nose by coughing or sneezing, but also, you know, just by talking. And if you come into contact with someone or are reasonably close to them within several feet of the person, these respiratory droplets can transmit the bacterium and give you pertussis. It makes a few toxins that appear to irritate the respiratory tree, you know, irritate your airways, and that's what causes the coughing. The big characteristic of pertussis or whooping cough, as you noted, is these fits of coughing. So, you know, it starts off like a regular cold. You'll get a runny nose for several days, maybe, and then followed by a cough. You start coughing. But the coughing comes in fits. So you may go an hour without any coughing at all, and then you'll start coughing and you can't seem to stop. The other notable thing is that it lasts for a long period of time. So, you know, when I get a cold, it lasts 2 to 3 weeks, but pertussis can last many weeks or even months. Some have dubbed it the 100-day cough. So the fits of coughing and how long it lasts are what are really notable about how pertussis looks in most people.
So why is it suddenly a problem again?
Well, I think part of the issue, I think, is that normally we're exposed to the bacterium pretty regularly and get our immunity boosted. And so we sort of don't notice pertussis that much. You know, we overcome it very quickly. But during COVID, when we had universal masking and we were socially isolating, restaurants were closed for a period of time, all of the respiratory diseases really went way, way down. I mean, we had almost no influenza during that time, and pertussis was one of them. So, you know, we were averaging probably, you know, 200 to 400 cases a year in most years. And I think it was in the year 2021, we had three. And in subsequent years, we haven't had many either. Last year, we had, I think, 34 cases. And so we've
hang
had
on a
several
second,
years
Doc.
Where...
Hold on. Hold on. We can't just gloss that over. You're telling me that there were hundreds of cases annually. And after we started masking, that went down to just three?
Right, right. You know, masking and all the social isolation that people did. Remember, we couldn't gather in groups of more than a few people and all of those things. It's hard to say which of those really accounted for the big drop, but taken together, they really knocked pertussis and the other respiratory diseases way down to the floor for a period of time.
So if I understand that correctly, we can surmise from those results that a societal consideration of one another when we have symptoms or think we are, ill, we're not feeling well, we simply mask ourselves and protect others. And there's a benefit.
Yes, I think there is. The first thing we tell people is if you're sick, you know, stay home so that you don't spread it to other people. A lot of viruses, you know, you actually won't have much virus left after a few days. And so you're not very contagious after a few days, even if you're still coughing. You know, the damage done to your airways and the irritation that remains that keep you coughing last longer than the virus does. But it may not be necessary to stay home for the entire period of coughing, which, as I say, for me, it's 2 to 3 weeks, frankly. But certainly during those early days when viruses and bacteria are alive, and that's when you really transmit the illness a lot. The masking, I think, would help significantly with that and staying home.
My guest is Dr. Paul Cieslak. He's the Medical Director for Communicable Diseases and Immunizations in the Center for Public Health Practice at the Oregon Health Association. We're talking about the outbreak in Oregon of pertussis, also known as whooping cough. So, Doc, how is pertussis different from asthma symptoms? How do we know?
Right. Well, asthma, you know, some people with asthma cough. There is a variant of asthma called cough variant asthma. And it may be hard to distinguish from pertussis or from any variety of respiratory diseases. But the hallmark of asthma is airway constriction, which leads you to be short of breath and wheezing. Your airways have muscles in them, and there's a stimulus that sort of triggers them, sets them off, and the muscles in your airways start contracting and they get smaller. And then trying to breathe through smaller airways, I mean, imagine trying to, you know, get all your breath through a swizzle stick or a straw, you know, it becomes very hard to breathe, and then you can have this musical wheezing sound as well. Pertussis is more of an irritation of the airways. They're not necessarily constricted, but they do get a lot of mucus in them, and they trigger these coughing episodes. And I, you know, the people who suffer most, this is really important, are infants, particularly the ones who are too young to have had any vaccinations. Infants have small airways to begin with, and then when you put an extra demand on them by having them, you know, coughing all the time, they can get into real trouble with getting enough oxygen. And it's really the infants who tend to land in the hospital. And we get an occasional death in an infant from pertussis. We've had about 5 since the year 2003. So they're the ones that we really worry about most and work hardest to protect.
What's the age demographic where you find pertussis spreading the most?
I would say teenagers. The 10 to 19-year age range has a very high rate of pertussis. And the vaccine, I will say, works really well. Probably, you know, 80%+ effective in the, you know, soon after you've been vaccinated. But the immunity wanes. We don't have durable immunity from either vaccination or from getting natural disease with pertussis. And so a dose of pertussis-containing vaccine is recommended for everybody at about age 11. But as you go through your adolescence and get older and, you know, older teens, that immunity is waning, and teens are becoming more social as well. You know, they're hanging out together, and so the combination of waning immunity with lots of contact means there's pretty high rates of confirmed pertussis disease among adolescents. But of course, they can spread it to others. And when someone with pertussis is in the vicinity of an infant, that's when we get worried and we want to give the infant antibiotics to make sure the infant doesn't get the pertussis.
How contagious is pertussis, like in comparison to COVID?
It's pretty contagious, although I will say COVID has become, you know, one of the most contagious diseases known. With that succession of mutations that they had, all those different variants, it seemed that each one was more contagious than the last one. And by the time, you know, we arrived at the more recent ones, it's very highly contagious. There is still a lot of COVID being transmitted out there, which we can document through our wastewater surveillance. You know, whether you're going to the doctor or not, if you have it, you're putting virus into the wastewater, and we're detecting it there in pretty significant quantities across the state. But many fewer people are landing in the hospital with it now, I think mostly because many of us have been vaccinated, you know, several times even, and many of us have had one or maybe multiple episodes of COVID-19 and getting immunity from that way. So the immunity is not long-lived there either, but we're constantly being exposed to it. And I think that's the reason why we're not seeing large numbers of people in hospital with COVID lately. But it's highly contagious.
Well, I know we've all been taught a very tough lesson about ignoring COVID symptoms. But what happens if we just ignore pertussis symptoms or try to treat it with some over-the-counter medicines?
Yeah, it's really tricky because so often by the time, you know, an adult in particular, a teen or an adult realizes that they might have pertussis, it may be too late to treat it with antibiotics. The bacterium's gone, but the damage that it did remains for a while. And so you end up, you know, treating it with cough syrup or, you know, treating just the symptoms. You can't really take care of the underlying problem anymore. So you have to kind of catch it early in order for antibiotics to be effective. So, you know, for adults and teens with pertussis, it's cover your cough, wear a mask, stay home. That's kind of the advice. But as I said, our main concern is protecting the infants. Now, vaccination with the primary series of pertussis-containing vaccine, it's part of that routine infant vaccination series, 2, 4, 6 months. And then there's another booster during toddlerhood, 15 to 18 months, and another one at preschool, like just before you start kindergarten. But that 2, 4, 6 month series is really where you get primed. And infants less than 2 months of age who haven't even had dose one yet are the ones who are at highest risk for landing in the hospital. And the strategy to protect them, and it's been shown to be very effective, is vaccinate mom during pregnancy. So during the third trimester of pregnancy, and mom will make antibodies and she will push them across the placenta to baby in the womb. Baby's antibody levels will actually be higher than mom's. They've found by testing cord blood as soon as the baby is born, umbilical cord blood, which is baby blood. So mom will push those antibodies across the placenta, and it has been shown to reduce pertussis in those young infants anywhere from 78 to 91%. A couple of different studies have been done. One that we participated in found 78% effectiveness. One that was done in the United Kingdom found 91% effectiveness.
So, Doc, out of the 827 cases as of November 13th, what percentage of those were kids?
75 of the 827, so a little bit under, what is that, about 8%? A little bit under 10%. And of the 75 cases among infants, only 11 of their mothers had received the vaccine during pregnancy, which is recommended during each pregnancy for mom. So, you know, that's a big problem is that a significant percentage of moms aren't getting the pertussis vaccine. And that's what we would like to change. I think in Oregon, about 2/3 of moms are getting it during pregnancy. But you know, the vast majority of cases in infants are occurring among the remaining fraction of moms who didn't get the vaccine for one reason or another during pregnancy.
Well, I'm here in Jackson County. Which counties are seeing the biggest impacts across Oregon?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Jackson's been relatively spared, I have to say. Lane County's been hit really hard. Lane County is 10 or 11% of the state's population. And they had about 30% of the cases. So they've been hit really hard. There's a lot of cases in the Portland Tri-County area, but Multnomah, Clackamas, Washington, Portland and suburbs. But a lot of people live there. About 43% of the state lives there. And their case percentage is about equal to that. Deschutes County in central Oregon, where Bend is, has been hit pretty hard, I think, as well, disproportionate to their population.
How severe can pertussis be depending on the age of the person experiencing symptoms?
Right, it's pretty common, pretty uncommon for anybody beyond infancy to actually land in the hospital. So, you know, you might be feeling cruddy for several weeks. You know, you got this nagging cough that just doesn't seem to leave you, but you're walking around and going about your business. So it isn't a terribly big, terribly severe disease beyond infancy. But the infants, yes, a significant percentage of them will land in the hospital The younger the infant, the higher the risk of landing in the hospital and the higher risk of, you know, of having to stay there for a long period of time. We published a case back in our banner year of 2012 of an infant who was in the hospital for 3 months. Just a horrible story, you know, in the intensive care unit most of that time, had to go on ECMO, which is all of your blood is being taken out of your system,
run through a machine
to oxygenate it and back into your
system. That sounds horrible, but unfortunately we run out of time. Thanks so much for your insights on this problem. We really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. I hope the moms out there hear this and get vaccinated.